band with a smooth style of syncopation.
Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Gaucho Amigos. I'm Alex. If you're new, welcome. If you are returning, if you listened to the first episode and enjoyed what you heard enough to check out the second, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I appreciate any feedback I've gotten so far. It's been pretty good. And if you'd be so inclined to give feedback, whether that's, you know, writing a review, liking, subscribing, or, you know, just letting me know on Twitter what you think of the podcast so far, I would really appreciate that. You know, I'm new at this whole podcasting thing, so I'm kind of figuring it out as I go along. But, you know, feedback is always, always great. So 3 years ago, when I started doing the account, you know, I had no idea that there would be any kind of response to it. Let alone the one that there was. And one of the cool things that's kind of emerged from the, you know, now 3 years of posting is that there's this whole kind of Steely Dan, you know, Twitter community where there are, you know, many folks, you know, sharing the bits and the memes and posting the lost tracks and the archival photos of Donald and Walter and just kind of, you know, bonding over this love of Steely Dan. But for me personally, you know, I've been doing it for a few years, and frankly, I'm a little bit out of gas in terms of, you know, keeping things, you know, going, doing the daily posts and sharing the bits and whatnot. So, you know, I feel like this podcast, one of the things that it allows me to do is, you know, I'm in a great position to have all of these Steely Dan fans, you know, gathered together in one place, but this gives me a chance to do something new with it by letting the fans kind of speak for themselves and getting a chance to, you know, reach out and talk to them about their love of Steely Dan and why they're so meaningful to them. So that's kind of one of the goals of this podcast. Now, today, you know, I'm talking to MVP, as a professional wrestler, and he's one of the biggest of all the Steely Dan fans that I've come across on Twitter. So, you know, he was someone that I thought would be interesting to talk to. I reached out to him and he, you know, enthusiastically responded yes. And we had a really great conversation. So this is me talking entirely about Steely Dan. We do not touch on any wrestling. And this, you know, this conversation, it's quite different than the first one that I posted with Harry. So, you know, this is more of a fan-to-fan chat. So without further ado, this is me talking to the great MVP. Enjoy. I think the first time that I came across you on Twitter was I found that tweet that said, it was an old tweet, but you wrote, Glamour Profession by Steely Dan is a song that's playing whenever I walk into a room.
True, like, story. In my head, when I walk into the room, Glamour Profession is playing in my head.
Yeah, see what I love
about it. Poured from the shadow where he stood, looking good. I'm a crowd pleasing man.
See, what's great about that is, you know, you didn't even choose one of the obvious, you know, you went for a deeper cut, you know, Glamour Profession. It's not one that gets the regular play on classic rock radio. Like,
it's not Dirty Work. It's not, you know, Reeling in the Years. Yeah, it's not. But I mean, it's like, I'm a fan of the Dan, and we can talk Steely Dan. We can go deep cuts. We can go personnel. We can, you know, for whatever it's worth, I've seen Steely Dan 11 times. I make it a point every year. I fly somewhere to go see them perform. And then I reside in Houston. And if my schedule permits, I usually catch them at the Woodlands Pavilion when they come through. So sometimes I'll catch them twice in a tour.
I see. You catch them once in Houston, then you'll fly somewhere to catch them a second time?
Yeah, often. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been to Houston. I'm sometimes, I have a lot of family in Austin, but yeah, like that's great. I haven't seen them as many times as you have, because I kind of came later to them. So I've only seen them 3 times. Did you see them on their most recent tour last year?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I got a pretty cool story about that. I flew to Philadelphia to see them at the Met. Because it was the date that they played in Philly was a day or two before my birthday. So I just made a birthday weekend of it and flew to Philly. And by chance, I was staying at the same Hilton that the band and I guess the crew were staying at. And I was with my ex-girlfriend. And we got into the elevator. And I see this guy get in the elevator, and he's got a lanyard on that says Steely Dan. And I'm like, oh, man, going to work, huh? Yeah. I'm like, oh, cool, man. What do you do? And, you know, very nondescript looking guy. So I thought, crew, you know, whatever. And he goes, oh, man, I play drums. And I went, Keith Carlock? And he looks, he goes, yeah. And I totally turned into a fucking fanboy. I'm sorry, can I use profanity? Is that cool? It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
All right. And my ex-girlfriend, she said afterwards, I wish I had a camera because I've never seen you like that before. I'm telling you, yeah, the first time I saw you in Redmond, Washington, and what you did with Steve Gadd's drum solo on Asia, and I went, oh, dude, I am so sorry. Forgive me, man. I'm having a moment, man. We laughed about it, and he was super cool.
Yeah.
But I don't. You know, he didn't know who I was, or, you know, he just thought I was some, you know, big dude in the elevator that was playing too close. But I hit him up on Instagram. I was like, hey, dude, thanks a lot. You know, you were really cool. And I think after he saw that I hit him up on Instagram, he was like, okay, this guy's not so weirdo. He's just a really big fan. But the first time I saw Steely Dan was in Redmond, Washington. And when Asia came on, and by this time it was a little later in the evening and the sun had set, and, you know, man, I was smoking that good Washington green and everything, just the mood, the vibe. And when that drum solo came and just the way he was beating the Skins, I was absolutely blown away. And it was at that moment I knew I'm going to see Steely Dan live every chance I get, because just their touring musicians are absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I completely agree. I like, and Keith is such a standout too on the drums. Like, I've never, whenever it comes up, like seeing Steely Dan live, they're like the drummer, and the drummer is unreal, because he really is. Yeah. Like, so when did this all start for you? Like your obsession with Steely Dan, is it like more recent, or do you go pretty far back?
No, I the obsession goes is a little bit more recent. It's weird because as a kid, I remember always remember hearing Steely Dan on the radio.
Right.
I'm a big music guy. I love music in general.
Okay.
Yeah. So like I remember being a little kid hearing Steely Dan on the radio and just like, oh, I like this song. You know, I remember being a little kid and hearing Peg and like just liking it. And then years later, De La Soul used a sample in one of their tracks when I was in like high school, I think. And I'm like, oh, I recognize that. Yeah, you know. And then later on when Lord Tariq and Peter Guns, you know, had that, you know, famously mocked by Donald Fagen, Uptown Baby, Uptown Baby. I'm like, wait a minute, man. And I remember at the time when that song came out, I didn't remember the name of the song, but I knew that that was a Steely Dan song, you know. And there were a number of rappers that had sampled Steely Dan. And to this day, it's funny because I'll talk to some of my younger friends who, like, well, what is the Steely Dan shit you're so into, man? And then I'll play them some Steely Dan songs and they'll go, oh, that's Kanye. Oh, that's Ice Cube. Oh, that's, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know Steely Dan. You just, well, for me, I was wrestling in Japan. And when the Sendai tsunami happened, February, I want to say it was February 6th. Or no, it was 4/11. It was 4/11. So February 6th was when I made my debut in Japan. And then not long after that, the Sendai, the earthquake hit. And
Oh, wow. Wow, so you were there for that. Oh my God.
I was there. I was there when it happened.
Oh, that
It was
was
one of the most
horrible.
terrifying things I ever experienced.
I'm sorry. That's
I was sitting
crazy.
in a little beer hall with a Japanese friend. And, you know, Japan is one of the most seismically active countries in the world. So, you know, a 6 on the Richter scale, that doesn't even stop traffic. You know, they don't get worked up about that. And we're sitting there and, you know, shit starts shaking. And like this earthquake wasn't just a rumble, like it continued to go and things started falling. And the Japanese people in this restaurant started crying and freaking out, which in turn made me go, oh shit, if they're freaked out, then this shit is serious, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And when it finally stopped, we went outside and it was like legitimately like one of those catastrophe movies where like I'm with my friend and I'm holding her by the hand and we're running through traffic and that earthquake was 9.1, I believe, the third most powerful ever recorded. And I was in Tokyo, 200 miles away from the epicenter, and I'm seeing with my own eyes, not what I'm hearing about, not I saw cracks in the sidewalk and tiles falling, buildings swaying because the aftershocks are in, you know, 8 point something, you know. So she was able to get me back to my hotel. And she was also smart enough to realize she was MVP son, you need supplies. So like we went to the one of the convenience stores and I bought bags full of shit. And which fortunately by the time we had to walk miles because the traffic was bumper to bumper. Every cab was full. It was ridiculous. And when we got back to the hotel, like I went by a convenience store close to my hotel, and it was I'm not exaggerating at all. Everything was bare. Like everything was gone. So I had to spend the next 2 or 3 days in my hotel because there was nowhere to go. I couldn't leave. It was stuck. And I'm drinking Asahi beer. I had just downloaded Citizen Dan, A Decade
Oh,
of Steely
wow.
Dan.
Which
And
is the
I'm
whole
in my
thing, right?
hotel.
It's
Yeah,
like the every
in
album,
my
yeah.
hotel room, the Tokyo Dome Hotel. I think I was on a 20. I was way up there too on the 20-something floor, drinking Asahi beer and just listening to the Dan over and over. And it was
Oh,
around that
wow.
time, I guess I had like rediscovered the Dan. Like I always liked, but this time I was like, let me get back into some Steely Dan. So emotionally and psychologically, the Dan is tied to that traumatic
Right,
time.
that's
And
crazy. So your love of Steely Dan was born out of the trauma of this horrific catastrophe that you experienced.
that was my soundtrack, man. I'm sitting
That's
there every
crazy.
time an aftershock hits and my hotel is swaying. And buildings in Japan are constructed to handle earthquakes, so they actually sway. So imagine being in a high-rise hotel on the upper floors and an aftershock hits and then you hear the steel.
Do you think you think it was because of what Steely Dan sounds like, that it kind of like hit you so hard because of the maybe the smoothness or the like you associated it with like the relaxation or just something that was
Yeah,
countering
it's
the the horror that you were experiencing.
yeah, man, because I mean, give me virtually any situation that you're in, and you put on Asia or Babylon Sisters, and tell me you're not instantly at least a little bit more calm. It's
Sure.
very soothing sounds. So that's exactly what it did. It was
And they're
very soothing for
escapist
me.
too, because it's, the
Yeah.
there's such vivid like storytelling, and the world of it is like taking you away from, wherever you are into their own crazy world. Yeah, that's wow, that's yeah. I mean, my Steely Dan thing was just born out of the trauma of realizing I was getting older. That's about it. I can't say that I had any kind of experience like you did, but yeah, it's a crazy story. Yeah, I've spent a little time in Japan as well, but when I was there for a year, actually, just I was doing some English teaching, but I actually, when I was there were no major earthquakes. There was just like a couple of really small ones, so I didn't experience anything like what you did. And I was nowhere near Tokyo. So how long did you spend there in total?
Well, I worked for New Japan Pro Wrestling for
Right.
2 years,
Okay.
but I didn't live in Japan. Like, I'd fly
Oh,
out,
I
I'd be
see.
there for a few weeks, then I'd
Okay, I
come
see.
back home, then they'd fly me out for a few weeks. The longest time I spent there in any one straight stretch was 6 weeks that I was there straight. But
Okay. And that whole time, were you there? Were you like digging deeper into Steely, like after you had that first
oh yeah, like,
epiphany?
because like through that,
Yeah.
that Citizen Dan, when I got that, all of a sudden it really made me go into the discography. And then,
Right.
album by album, I started listening just to the albums all the way through.
Yeah.
And, oh yeah, I remember that song. Or, oh,
Exactly.
here's a new dance song I didn't know about that, oh man, I like this song a lot, So,
Yeah.
and just because, they were such perfectionists, the musicianship is so incredible.
It is.
And, you get high and put on some headphones and you start hearing things that you never heard before. And you go, oh, wait a minute, man. Like all the controversy about the police whistle,
Yeah.
I didn't notice that the first few times. And then later I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, there is a police whistle. Yeah, okay.
Then you look at the credits on the record, you're like, police whistle. There was literally a guy in the studio, blowing it. So and it, yeah, I mean, just to even think to put that moment in there is, it's so creative. But yeah, it's like every millisecond of every song is like, tailored to a specific idea that they're trying to get across to you.
And their creative process,
Yeah.
because I'm a creative person, I'm an entertainer. I also do rap music. I'm a lyricist, and
Oh, you do? I didn't know that.
yeah, it's just, but for me, it's a hobby. It's
Yeah.
not a career that I'm trying to
Right.
pursue, because if it was an actual job, I wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But so
Understand.
I appreciate lyrics, and I'm not a guy that with rap in particular. But nowadays, everything is very sonic. It's all about how things sound. And with a lot of the modern stuff, there's not as much emphasis placed on lyrics. So, for me, going way back, I wrote my first rhyme when I was in sixth grade after listening to Run DMC. So lyrics, I place a premium on lyrics. And listening to the Steely Dan lyrics, the snark and the as you said before, the irony or some of the things, it's just like, oh, I missed that before, but wow, man, I wish I had thought of that.
Oh,
I turned 49 October of last year. This year I'll be 50.
wow.
And I'm very fortunate that
Yeah.
my career path,
Right.
I chose to become a professional wrestler.
Right.
And early on, I used to bounce on South Beach, and people would come up to me
Yeah.
and, hey, how's that wrestling thing working out for you? And now their kids play with my action figures. So,
Yeah.
I got the last laugh and all that. But
Yeah.
there are some guys that are, when I still go home to Miami, some dudes that I see that are, had big plans and big goals, but some of these guys are still, managing nightclubs or bouncing at nightclubs, and things didn't quite work out the way they planned. Or I've run into some of my old high school buddies who, found me on, social media, and like, hey man, I remember, man, you wanted to be a lawyer. Oh yeah, well, I manage a warehouse. That didn't work out. Oh, okay, and then I think about what a shame about me. It's
Right.
like whoa, like the power in that exchange,
Yeah.
when Franny from NYU walks in, and he, you know, yeah, I'm still working on that novel, but I'm just about to quit.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah,
and it's like, oh.
it's all about middle age, regret and remorse and what could have been,
Yeah.
what I should have done with my life. I mean, yeah, I can
Well,
relate
what
in
I
some
wanted to
ways.
do in my life, and
What I,
unfortunately, things didn't work out that way, you know.
yeah. Yeah, you're talking to a ghost, as he says.
You look delicious and you're standing very close. But like this is Lower Broadway and you're talking to a ghost. Take a good look, it's easy to see. What a shame about me. What a shame about me.
So you said you like, you're a big music fan in general. Because that's
My musical tastes are so
yeah.
eclectic, man.
Yeah.
I love music, and I don't limit myself to any particular genre. You know,
Yeah.
if it sounds good to me, I like it. So, dude, one day I put my iPad on shuffle,
Yeah.
and you know, Steely Dan was followed by Agnostic Front, and was followed by, you know, Ghostface Killah into Miles Davis. Like, I love music, like even country music. Like, I don't like country music,
Right.
but there are country music songs that I like, you know. So, you know, I don't consider myself any kind of you know, are you a hip hop guy, are you a rock
Yeah.
guy? I'm a music guy.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean I'm kind of the same way, and I think one of the things that's interesting about Steely Dan is that they tend to attract people who from all genres of music. Like hip hop guys love them, maybe, you know, because of the sampling history, you know, with
Sure.
Kanye and De La Soul and stuff. I've found a lot of metalheads love them. I think it might just be like the lyrics more than the new, because you think metal, you think of the opposite of smooth. It's you know hard and
Yeah,
fast
exactly.
and heavy, but you know the kind of dark, weird narratives of Steely Dan songs, I think might draw them in, or maybe just because it's a nice break from all that. I don't know, but I've it's just my
Yeah, you
experience.
know what, maybe like a
Yeah,
cleansing of the
a
palate, you
cleansing.
know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've just seen people that I know. I know I have friends and I know people who are like metal. That's their thing. Like 80% of the time when they listen to metal, but like if they do go in another direction, for some reason, Steely is like right there for them. So,
It's weird because
yeah.
I'll play Steely Dan. Like, if you're a friend of mine or if you're a love interest of mine,
Yeah.
you just have to accept that Steely Dan is part of the soundtrack of what, you know, we're gonna do or be, you know. So, having said that, I have found that one of two things usually happens when I play Steely Dan for people. Either they'll go, "Oh yeah, I know that song," yeah, and I'll
Yeah.
play some of the, you know, the more popular main, you know, radio friendly cuts, and they, "Oh yeah, I know that song." And then when I take them a little deeper, they'll go, "Man, you know what? I don't know, but this is actually pretty cool. I like this. This is all right, you know." So,
Is it a requirement for you if you bring someone into your life that they have to like it? Or, you know, if they don't like it, you understand, you know, that's just not their thing. But
if you date me, you just have to enjoy music, and you have to be
yeah.
open-minded to music. So you can
Totally.
play things that I've never heard before, and I'll listen, and I'll go see shows with you with people that I might not be into, but I'll just go for the live music and the vibe. So, you know, if you're rolling with me, you're just gonna have to know that when, you know, we're in the car, we're hanging out, and you're gonna hear lots of Steely Dan.
Yeah. Because for some people, there's just something about Steely Dan that they can't handle. Like,
Yeah, I've seen, like, and on Twitter, I saw, you know, like some little thread of people talking shit about Steely Dan or mocking people who are into Steely Dan. I link that to some sort of anti-intellectualism or something. I don't know. Maybe they just, you know, maybe it's above their intellectual capacity, perhaps, you know.
They just don't get it, man. Yeah. Yeah, I mean it goes both ways. I think it's almost like a licorice effect. Like, you know, either you love it or you can't stand it. There's something about them that they turn people off sometimes. But you
Yeah,
know.
and I hate black licorice. I absolutely
Me
hate
too.
it.
Me too. I
Yeah.
can't stand it.
But
And I
the
think just
Twizzlers, that's a different conversation.
Twizzlers are good. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. Yeah, luckily my wife did attend one Steely Dan concert with me. So and
And then what'd she say?
Well, it was an interesting reaction. So she knew the hits, and I think when they were playing the hits, she was happy because they were playing the fun songs that she knew and loved. She did take an edible before we saw them and said that
That helps.
she zoned out for a long time and was thinking about what the life of the trombone player was like for like 40 minutes. And then she forgot where she was. She just like was zoning out. But and then at the end when they played like Reelin' and Peg, she kind of zoned back in and was having fun. So
I saw them in New York once when they would do their I think they usually would do like 10 dates, a residency at
the Beacon Theater.
The Beacon Theater, thank you.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine took me for my birthday, and she got a big surprise for you. I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. So I went with her friend, and another friend. And they all took shrooms before we went in. And I don't mind shrooms, but they just always mess with my stomach. So I just smoked one outside before we went in. And it was so cool watching them react, because that particular night, I think it was either Gaucho. No, it's weird. I can't remember. Either Gaucho or the Royal Scam. They played in entirety. And it was so fun watching them on shrooms, because they weren't really into the band, but they knew that I was. So, hey, just, you know. And afterwards, they were like, oh, we got to go listen to some more Steely Dan. That's so cool. I was like, I like it now. I'm into it. I'm into it. So let's see if you feel that way when the shrooms wear off. You know, like, but they said, no, it was like, we went on a musical journey. It was so amazing. Like, I was into it. And like, wow. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, I'm glad that, I'm glad that I was able to open that door for you.
Yeah, the shrooms unlocked the power of the Dan for them when they were.
Yeah.
And then they were set. Those doors weren't closing, you know? Yeah. Yeah, those I've gone to two of the album shows at the Beacon, and if they ever do another run, then I'll definitely try to fill it, because I've so far I've seen the Royal Scam and Countdown to Ecstasy were the two that I've seen so far. So
I'm a little disappointed when, now that Walter's gone.
Yeah,
because I always had a plan that I wanted to go and see them at the Beacon Theater like three nights in a row, and just schedule wise, I was never able to do it. I mean, realistically speaking, and not to be morbid, Donald's only got so much time left on the clock. I want to go and make it a point to go three nights in a row to the Beacon and just indulge myself in Steely Dan. And, you know, maybe one of those nights I'll take mushrooms. Just
Yeah, one thing about the album shows that's great is they'll play the deep cuts. You know, they'll play some of the songs that they're not going to play when they're just doing the usual, like.
Now, I was gonna say, and it's weird, because when you get into the conversation about, you know, and inevitably if you're a Steely Dan fan, you always get into the conversation about, you know, rank the out your favorite albums, you know, in order, or what's your favorite album, and that's always such a difficult conversation. You know, but I can say for me, it all, depending on my mood, it always comes down to Asia and the Royal Scam. As my
those are
if
your
you
two?
Put a gun to my head and said pick, it would be one of those two, would be my favorite. But, and it's weird, because people get you know, I see a lot of people have an aversion towards Two Against Nature and Everything Must Go. You know, they're like, no, that doesn't count, or no, that's not, you know. And I'm like, no, actually, Two Against Nature is a dope fucking album, man. Like, that Two Against Nature is really. Everything Must Go, I don't love as much.
Okay.
You know, it's probably one of my, you know, like I love All Damn, but if you made me rank, it'd probably be one of the albums that I appreciate the least.
Okay.
But I love Two Against Nature.
Yeah.
And I remember when they won the Grammy, and, you know, people who were you know, all the Eminem fans were pissed off. And I'm like, I like Eminem too, but like, dude, this is Steely Dan. You don't understand how monumental this is.
Well, I was a teenager when that happened, and I remember thinking, like, who are these old farts? Like,
that's what everybody was saying.
Yeah, the Reelin' in the Ears guys. I didn't even know they had a new album. Like, what? Like, what about Eminem? What about Radio? But now I'm like, that was fucking awesome that they did that. Like,
You know, they upset the apple cart, so to speak, because nobody saw that coming, right?
No, it was a huge upset, and honestly, it's a great album. Like, I love what are called the reunion albums. So Two Against Nature, Everything Must Go. I
Right.
think they're you know, in a lot of ways they're just as interesting and you know, well put together, creative, as you know, the songs are great. They even, you know, Walter sings a song on Everything Must Go. That's new. So yeah, I'm a big, and I love Don and Walt Solo too. So I think you're a Nightfly fan, right? I've seen you. I think I've seen,
Huge, huge. I know every word to every song.
The
Love the
Nightflies.
night.
Yeah, so.
And you know what? So Donald gets a lot more credit for his solo work, I guess, because the Nightfly was, you know, was such a massive album. And you know, you don't really hear as much talk about Kamakuryad or, you know, Sunken Condos, but Walter, like 11 Tracks of Wack, I don't love as much, but Circus Money, oh dude. And Downtown Cannon is my shit, man. Like that song, just, you know, thinking about breakups, and you know, there's a specific relationship that I had that song speaks to me. You know, it's like I cracked the code and I knew what it's all about. We found that loft on Green Street and swept that bad boy out. Just like, wow, Alsatian wine, playing records way past four, making some hardcore love on the cold hardwood floor. Like, oh man, yeah. So I'm a huge fan of Circus Money, and the Nightfly is just a magnificent album, man.
Knife. I mean, yeah, Nightflies, Circus Money. There's some, yeah, it's great. There's some great songs. That's probably the one I've listened to least of the solo. I gotta hit that up more. I know Downtown Cannon is my favorite. Like that song is so,
Yeah.
it's so smooth, but also like it's so,
Well, the whole thing is 4/4 time signature. It's a
yeah.
reggae album, essentially.
Yeah, it is. It is reggae. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, the whole thing.
there's some reggae on Tracks of Wack too. Yeah, it's like Haitian Divorce like started this whole other side path of like
Yeah.
Walter reggae that he later finally in the like you know what was it late 2000s when Circus Money came out, he finally got to do his like you know
Yeah,
fun
and I
reggae
think he
thing.
did that album in Hawaii too, if I'm not mistaken. So that would add to the whole island vibe and whatnot, you
The shade of the sky, which is burning. Black was the shade in retreat, and blue was the color returning. Let's imagine some guy driving a coffee truck. Yet he dares to dream the impossible dream. Better have some answers for your trophy wife. Better not get cozy with your trophy life, your trophy life.
So I know you're pretty active in the like the Steely Dan Twitter world. Like how did you discover like that there was a Steely Dan Twitter? How did you get involved in that? I mean, what do you
Dude, this is weird, but true story. While I'm active on Twitter, I'd never got into the nuances of Twitter, the hashtags and the communities, and you know, I didn't know that stuff existed, you know. But I came across Bad Dan Takes, and I was like, huh, what is this? Oh, okay. And I think something popped up. And then there was something where they was it Dancing Steely Dan or something where
Oh,
they take
yeah.
videos of people dancing and put Lay Steely Dan over it. And then I think I read the interview that you did. And off of that, I kind of went down that rabbit hole. And then I discovered, you know, the Bodacious Callboys and you know, all of these other, you know, very popular, you know, Steely Dan based tweeters. And then I discovered, oh, there's a whole Steely Dan community here on Twitter. Like, oh, home at last.
You found your people.
I found all my people, yeah. So actually, you were kind of the doorway into that once I discovered you and started to see like who you were following, who was following you, and the people that were responding to some of your posts, and that opened up that door for me. Dude, my son is 8 years old now,
Oh, wow.
and I have video of him when he was a baby in my car. I remember we would go through the car wash, and I'd let him get in the front seat when we would go through the car wash. And, you know, little kids love the car washes, you know. Oh, wow. But it blew my mind that when Black Cow came on, and he was a toddler, he was one-ish, and he was just, you know, just bopping with it. And I'm like, oh, you like that song, huh? So it just became like a thing where I noticed like he would respond to that song. So he'd be in his car seat in the back, and I'd be driving, and the song would come on. And, you know, he wasn't even talking yet, you know, just, you know, toddlers with a few words and, you know, gobbledygook. But every time that part would come on, you should know. From the back seat, I would hear, you should know. I'm like, oh, you like that. So now, like, I'm not a big karaoke guy, but on occasion, you know, if I'm drunk enough, you know, I have some fun with the karaoke. My son's family, big on karaoke. Every time, you know, they get together, his mom's family get together, his uncle brings out the professional karaoke machine, the mics, and the whole deal. And I was almost moved to tears when me and my son sang Black Cow together. We did a duet of Black Cow on karaoke. And at 7 years old, my son knew all the words all the way through, because just riding in the car with dad. And I know that one day I will be gone from this earth, and Steely Dan will be old, old music, but my son will still feel the influence of the Dan. And I'm hoping that he'll still listen to some Steely Dan periodically, because it will give him memories of his dad.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, hopefully in a few years, you know, he'll be, you know, talking about the intricacies of, you know, the Gad drum solo on Asia, you know.
Right. If now, I have just anything to do with it.
Yeah, now he's grooving to, you know, Peg and Black Cow, but just give it a couple of years. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, one of the missions of the account, I guess, has been just to, like, preserve the legacy, and you know, shit gets forgotten really easily. I mean, you know, there's some bands, obviously, you know, I don't think anyone's going to forget the Beatles anytime soon, Bob Dylan, you know, there's certain things that have reached a level. Yeah, bands like Steely Dan, they can slip through. So anyway.
Well, you know what's weird? I was watching
Yep.
I enjoy film noir. And, you know, sometimes I'll just find like an
film
old
noir. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll find an old film noir, like one I've never seen before, never even heard of.
Yeah.
And I look at it and I'm like, man, this was a major Hollywood release at one point. And like all of these actors were somewhat famous in the 40s or 50s when this came out. And today, unless you're some sort of a film buff, you don't know who any of these people are. They're immortalized on celluloid, if you will, but forgotten to time. And somebody put it in perspective for me, and I thought about it. I was like, wow, man. I grew up listening to Run DMC. And to a kid now in their 20s, Run DMC was the equivalent when I was 14 of, you know, music from the 40s, you know. And when I was a teenager, like I knew Glenn Miller and I knew Duke Ellington, you know, because I like, even then I liked jazz, but, you know, it wasn't something that I was putting in playing all the time, you know. Yep. It wasn't something I was riding in my car to. So, you know, things get lost in time. And I feel like, you know, Steely Dan is the Beatles. Actually, you know, if you ask me, Steely Dan is way better than the Beatles. But they do have a timelessness about them that if you have a mature taste in music, or if you appreciate intricate musicianship, then I think, you know, Steely Dan is one of those groups that you could put into, you know, whatever the musical medium of the future is, musical medium of the future, you know, and you could still play it in a room where people will just kind of like, you know, oh, that's soothing, you know, the proverbial chill vibe.
Yeah, I think first of all, you know, they kind of incorporated musical history into their sound, you know, because, like, you know, like Duke Ellington, definitely, you know, definitely an influencer, you know, Charlie Parker, other jazz legends. So,
Parker's
also
band, St. Louis Toodaloo.
St. Louis Toodaloo, there you go. Yeah, I mean, there's obviously the, you know, a lot of, I think a lot of what Donald like grew up listening to was that kind of stuff. So, you know, they've incorporated, you know, American musical history into the sort of rock, you know, idiom a little bit in a way that, and the fact that those albums were recorded with so much attention and care, I think that has helped, you know, keep the legacy. Like, I think that'll help keep their legacy longer because you throw on Asia now and it still sounds so fresh. It doesn't sound old. It doesn't sound like, you know, it sounds like something that, you know, would,
Didn't that album win a Grammy for engineering?
I think it did, yeah. Or Gaucho, or
Yeah.
maybe both. Yeah. I mean,
I
like,
mean, maybe both. Yeah.
technology has not surpassed the technology on Asia. In fact, you know, if anything, like, it's hard to recreate the sound. Like, there are not many albums that sound as good as Asia or Gaucho. And I think, like, that was sort of a, like, that era was a kind of a high point in music production.
Yeah, I won't disagree with you on that.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, you know, historically they kind of set the groundwork for a lot of that. I mean, you know, their attention to detail and they're being so demanding on every detail. But there's one question that I have always wanted to ask man, how come they just never re-recorded the second arrangement? Like, how come they just never said, okay, we know what we got it. Let's just get everybody together and re-record it?
Like right after Gaucho or like later on in time,
No,
like,
because the song was lost, you
yeah,
know,
right.
allegedly it was erased. And, you know, over the years, I've heard various people have taken what was out and have cleaned it up. And, you know,
Right.
they've done all kinds of work with trying to make it. And it's such a great song.
I know.
Why did Donald and Wahl just say, "I fuck it, that song's lost. We don't
Yeah.
care." Why
Two
didn't they
Against
just go,
Nature,
"You know what,
track
we lost
one.
it"? Yeah, like let's all right. Well, let's get the crew back together and let's re-record that and put that on another album.
Yeah, from what I have heard is that Donald is he was so crushed. He was so emotionally devastated by that happening. He just never wants to do anything to do with it ever again. So I don't like he just doesn't want to re-record it, doesn't want to think about it, doesn't want to. They played it. I mean, they played it once. So he actually did go through the effort of like playing it again. They played it live at one of the when they did like they did a night of rarities at the Beacon in like 2011, which I would have loved
See,
to
I
go
had
to.
no idea. I didn't
I
know that.
know.
They actually played it live once?
They did once, yeah. And
I had no idea.
yeah. They played,
Wow.
it's crazy that they one show, they did that, and they did a lot of the other songs that they don't usually play live. They also did The Bear, which is another either Asia or Gaucho outtake. I'm not positive. I think it's a Gaucho outtake. And
It's Gaucho. Gaucho.
Gaucho and Dr. Wu, they never play live. They played at
They
that
never
show.
played Dr. Wu live, yeah.
Yeah, they did it that night. So just this one night, for some reason, you know, he was willing to, so he's capable of it, but
What I wouldn't give to have been there if I
I
could turn back
know.
the
I know. I was just getting in, like I think the year that I got really into Steely Dan was like 2010 or 2011, and I think it happened in 2011. So I wasn't quite like I didn't know second arrangement. Yeah, that came later.
Yeah, that was about the time that I was
Yeah.
that was when the earthquake happened, when I was
Yeah.
re-immersing myself
You're right, yeah.
into the game. So yeah, you know, dude, it's funny. There's a guy, he's on Twitter and Instagram, GOI Kicks, and he makes custom sneakers where you can commission sneakers, and he makes sneakers for all kinds of rappers and different people, and you know he's pretty pricey. But I commissioned him to do a pair of Nikes for me and you just give him some ideas, tell him kind of what you want, and then he'll just be an artist and make them. And so I have some Asia
I
Jordans.
think I
Yeah.
saw those. Did you post them on
Yeah.
IG or
Yeah.
Twitter? Yeah, those
Yeah.
are awesome. Yeah, I was like, I was wondering. I was like, can I get these? Like, how? Because look at the shirt I'm wearing.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
yeah, this I
That's
found online.
the
Yeah,
Japanese release.
Japanese release of Asia. There's all the tracks and everything.
Yeah, where'd you get that?
I just found it on the internet, man. It was like it wasn't that expensive either. I can send you the link. It was like 15 bucks.
Please do. I want that shirt.
The
I
shirt's
have a
great.
special
Yeah.
love for Japan and Steely Dan, and they go
Yeah.
hand in hand. So
Same
that's
here.
something I need. And I got like half a dozen Steely Dan t-shirts, and I don't have that one. I need that one.
Yeah, I have a bunch too, and I every time I do one of these Zooms, I wear one of my Dan shirts just to get the good the to get in the mindset. But
Now I'm thinking about it. I dropped the ball. I totally should have worn one of my Dan shirts, and I'm
it's cool, man.
embarrassed because Adidas
No,
isn't paying me anything, you know.
it's
So I
<that's...
absolutely should have worn a Steely Dan shirt.
laughs>
I dropped the ball majorly.
Well, we're not, this isn't going up as video, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, next time, if we ever do it
Regarding
again.
those sneakers, though,
Yeah.
those sneakers, you know, he always says that, you know, they're art, and a lot of guys will have them commissioned and then just put them in a box and put them on display, or they might wear them once or twice. My goal, because I know how elusive and how difficult Donald Fagan is to get to, but my goal is to try to get him to sign those sneakers for me.
Yeah.
And put them in a plexiglass display box with a light on them, and you know, with a I actually have an original pressing of Asia, and I'd like to create like the whole display and put it in my house where I can be like, yeah, look at that. I am one of the biggest Steely Dan nerds you'll ever meet. Look at this. If I could get Donald Fagen to sign my bad sneakers, and I'll drink a pina colada in honor.
So you, yeah. So have you met, besides your encounter with Keith, have you met anyone else from
No,
yeah, no?
I have not. I have not.
Yeah.
But it is it's bucket list for me
Bucket list,
to
yeah.
get an opportunity to meet Donald Fagen, and just want to tell him, hey, dude, I you know, because from all the interviews that I've seen and everything that I've read and heard, like, you know, he's, you know, especially as he gets older, from what I understand, he tends to be not very tolerant of people in general, and you know, doesn't really like to hang out much.
Yeah.
But I would love to just meet him and tell him, like, hey, dude, you really have influenced my life. Thank you so much for all of the vibes, the tunes, the feels. And you know, I just wanted to be able to tell you face to face how much I appreciate everything that you've done. You know, there are times in my life when I was in the dumps and, you know, put on some Steely Dan and I feel a little bit better. And when you're able to do that, when you're able to create music as an artist, you whatever medium your art is, you want to be able to affect people on a spiritual level. You want to be able to do something where you affect people psychologically, emotionally, on multiple levels. And Steely Dan does that for me on virtually every level. So I just want to tell them, like, hey, when you set out to create your art, I am one of the people that your art speaks to in a very unique way, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah,
And
hope.
can you sell me the sneakers, please?
I'm trying to think how Donald would actually respond, though. He might, like, I feel like he doesn't take flattery very well. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't seem like
Right,
the
yeah.
type to be like, well, you know, but maybe he would be polite for the moment. But yeah, I don't know. I
I'd
don't
imagine
know.
he'd probably be nice in the moment. Like, hey,
Yeah, he'd be
thanks a lot,
nice.
B.
Exactly. Yeah, he doesn't, I don't think he, like, I don't know what his relationship with the fan world of Steely Dan, just, I don't know what. If he's, you know, super enthusiastic about it, because there's so much out there. I mean, beyond the Twitter, there's also, you know, there's a lot of cover bands that have been popping
Yeah.
up all over the country. There's like tons of them. Like every small city has its own Steely Dan cover band. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, there's one here in Houston that I
Yeah.
want to go see. I've heard
Oh,
they're
yeah.
actually pretty good too. Yeah, I haven't seen them.
Which one is that?
Somebody hit me up.
Do you know the
Ah,
name?
man, I forgot, and I feel so bad because somebody hit me up on Twitter and told me about him, and here is an
Yeah.
opportunity for me to shout him out. But I got to look him up
No
and find
worries.
out when they're performing because I'd absolutely like to go see them. And at some point again, because you know, Donald's 75, and you know, I can't imagine him continuing to tour for too much longer. You know, my Steely Dan Jones is gonna have to be fed by, you know, some of the better cover bands at some point, you know.
That's very true. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I didn't even, I'm not even entertaining that idea right now of the post.
Yeah, let's get that negativity out of our head. You know what?
Now I'm
I
like, I
actually
better go see them now. Better go see them next tour. Like, shit.
Well, you know, it's funny because I had this
Yeah.
crazy idea, and maybe it's something you and I can revisit at some point.
Yeah, sure.
I had this weird, a crazy idea, like, okay, you know, when Steely Dan, they play New York, you know, New York is a huge city, and you know, they're able to play 10 sold out dates in a row. So that says there are a lot of Steely Dan fans in New York.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, man, what? How cool would it be to set up an after party at some venue in New York where after the Steely Dan concert, Steely Dan fans can go to a venue and hire a, you know, professional DJ or a cover band to just continue the party. Just keep playing Dan music with fellow Dan fans and drink and just kind of enjoy the vibe and have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, somebody was also suggesting like a Dan Con, you know, like they have Comic Con, like
Dan Con.
Dan Con. And if you synced it up right, you could do it in New York when they're doing the Beacon shows. So then everyone could come in, you know, go to Dan Con during the day. Because I feel like the reason that, you know, Dan fans are, you know, they tend to be more on the introverted side, I guess. You know, they're not the party animal type. So maybe that's why they all finally congregated together on Twitter. You know, they had a harder time finding each other in real life. But
yeah. I could also see Dan fans, you know, in a small, quiet lounge type spot where Steely Dan's playing in the background,
yeah.
You know, drinking some, especially in New York, because, you know, you got older people with a higher tax bracket drinking some nice, you know, 21-year-old single malt scotch and people enjoying the vibe on a low key scale, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, if people want to pitch me something like that, like I would be happy to, you know, help plan or participate and, you know, promote whatever.
We'll revisit that. Announce their tour
for
later this year, if they tour, hopefully they will, and they do the
Beacon Theater shows,
we can look into the possibility of reaching out to the New York Dandom and setting up a cool little post Beacon show after party.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, I'd love to help set something like that up. Yeah. And I'm hoping they do the Beacon. I don't know. They didn't do it last year, so I don't know.
No, they didn't.
But the Beacon,
and I was disappointed.
The Beacon Theater Twitter account wished Donald Fagen a happy birthday. Is that a sign that maybe they're going to be, I don't know. It may mean nothing. It might just be, you know, he played a lot of shows there, but.
Yeah, they probably have a love affair. But if they do a residency at the Beacon Theater this year, this will be the year that I make it a point that I'll catch those three shows I was telling you about. And I'll make it a point to catch you. One of those nights, I'll buy an extra ticket for you. We'll catch that show together.
That'd be dope, man. That'd be fucking great. Yeah, thank you.